welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding episode 160. I'm joined this week by Martin.
Hello.
And Daniel.
How?
Howdy. We have a fun-filled show for you this week. But before we get started, I just wanted to say, officially, I'm a complete hypocrite. I think Martin called me on this. Literally, last week, I think I was talking about how Titanfall has a pretty dead community. So, of course, I buy it within the week.
And I actually added something else in regards to HD remakes.
Yeah, Jason called me on this earlier, but yes, I've also been a really big opponent of HD remakes and collections, and of course, I'm going to buy the Master Chief collection this week. So, I am just putting it out there, I am a complete and utter hypocrite as to what I say and what I do at times.
Oh, dear.
So, yes,
well.
Yeah, so I'm just putting it out there. I got an Xbox One, if that wasn't clear from what I purchased. But I actually haven't had time to use it. I actually ended up with a pretty decent deal. I got the Xbox One with Assassin's Creed Unity and React Fag or whatever. And the Xbox Live Fag 320. And I'm selling my Assassin's Creed Unity code to Jason. I have no idea what I'm doing with the React Fag one because nobody wants to buy it. I got Titanfall, and I got the Titanfall season pass for $20. Yes, I guess that would be the other thing. I bought a season pass.
All the content's out now, so it's not that bad.
And it's $6.25. I mean, it really wasn't breaking the bank.
At least you're getting all the bad stuff out of the way early.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm being honest. I'm not gonna hide from it. I think I admitted on Twitter that I'm a complete hypocrite for being interested in the Halo Chief Collection, which is even worse because it's the one that I always get upset about people for. Because I heard you still own all four. I own all six of the Halo games still, and you can still play most of them on your Xbox 360.
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm not interested in getting an Xbox One, because I could not buy anything and still play those games. So.
And after today's news, you wouldn't be interested in Halo anymore.
Oh, gosh.
I guess we might as well talk about that now, since we're already talking about Halo. But yeah, sneak footage came out from Halo 5, and it seems like the Call of Duty-fication of the franchise continues.
Mm-hmm.
Which has
the
got
The game has sprinting and ADS built into it. And
I don't mind the sprinting, personally.
Sprinting is not too bad, because it was in Reach, it was in 4. It's, you know, there are people that don't like how slow the game is, and that's fine. It didn't change that much in Reach. But it's the ADS thing that, obviously, these people don't like, and for good reason. And I don't, like, a lot of people are like, I don't see why it's such a bad thing, and those people obviously have not played much Halo multiplayer, because if you don't know why that's a bad thing, it means that they've probably decreased the time to kill. And that's the one thing that I didn't want them to do to Halo ever. And yeah, you can't just add something like ADS into a game and just expect it to work and people to use it. So
Even beyond that, it always changes how the game itself plays, even beyond the time to kill. I mean, if you have ADS, there will be, like, probably be more of an emphasis of being more accurate in a slower way. So it actually, every time you aim, it actually slows down the game instead of keeping things moving at the same pace as it always is, because you don't have to aim down something.
And this is the thing about Halo, is that on-foot combat against other on-foot people, it was always about how you moved around them and not...
Yeah.
And it wasn't really about how you were shooting, it was how you moved, and were you jumping at the right times, and are you using your movement to get an advantage over them. And I think an ADS changes that, because it slows you down, And I saw a tweet from somebody who, I don't know if he worked at 343, I didn't really check his profile, but apparently it doesn't give you an accuracy bonus. And it's like, well, if ADS doesn't give you an accuracy bonus, why is it there? It has to, you know? What's the point in it being there if it doesn't trade off movement for accuracy. So I don't know how that's going to work, but you know,
I'm also kind of curious, just from a practical standpoint, because Halo 4, I think it's not the worst one, but it hasn't sold well. But the online community for that also plummeted really quickly compared to like 2, 3, and I guess Reach to a degree.
Yeah.
And it's kind of curious that they're continuing down that path, because that was, I mean, I guess we'll find out with the beta, which is at the end of the year. But it just seems like they're going in the wrong direction. And I get that Call of Duty's popular, but at the same time, Call of Duty's popular. You don't read. Halo was popular doing its own thing and trying to become more like it. It's not helping anybody.
Yeah. Another thing to note is I've got this fucking video on loop because it's only 6 seconds. Is the battle rifle? It has the same silhouette as the battle rifle, so I'm going to assume it's the battle rifle. It has the same amount of bullets loaded into it. It doesn't have a scope. It has what looks like a red dot sight on it. So that chances are that
attachments.
Yeah, you have functional attachments that you can swap out, which is also a thing that I'm not a fan of. Because Halo was all about having a very sort of clean slate that everybody was on the same kind of level, I guess, when it came to weapons and how the weapons functioned. And it was more about having the right weapon at the right time than having the right attachment to boost your accuracy because whatever, you know.
Also, I have to say, they are not far away from adding in perks at this point.
Well, I mean, they've kind of had that.
Exactly. They already kind of have them with the armor abilities.
Well, not even the armor abilities. I was also going to say the drops that you got in 4.
Yeah.
Halo 4 had perks, flat out. So,
did it?
I think it did. Hang on a second.
I don't know. I mean, it had things you can unlock. Like, you can unlock different abilities. You can unlock different guns for your loadouts. And then you also had, I mean, that was randomized, but, like, you know, a certain amount of kills for certain modes. You'd get a drop. You'd get, like, a speed boost. You'd get, like, armor. You'd get, like, invincibility. You'd get, like, extra damage.
That's more like a kill streak thing.
But yeah, it's soon you'll be getting. Well, actually, I was about to say you do get XP.
It does have perks. Halo does have perks. They're called specializations. The rogue specialization is for those who wish to increase their aiming stability when being fired upon. That sounds like a perk to me.
Yeah, true.
So
I don't know. I have fallen out with Halo already after basically Halo 3. So it doesn't really bother me, but on the other hand, I also think, like, it's kind of a shame because Halo was its own thing, and now it's becoming more like all the other things that are out there, so what's the point?
Yeah. And it disappoints me because they couldn't even re-release Halo 2 as a multiplayer without messing with it.
Oh, did they change that a ton? I actually have not been paying attention to the Halo Master.
So what they've done to Halo 2, if you're uninitiated, well, they've added a Mongoose, the Mongoose and the Hornet into Halo 2, multiplayer. But for some reason they were like, yeah, you know what, let's put guns on the Mongoose as well.
Yeah, I remember the Gun Goose.
They've added hit markers, they've added grenade indicators, which is something I really don't like. Because the grenades are bright blue, for God's sake. If you can't see something that's bright blue, then nothing's going to save you. They've also changed the HUD around, so it shows you different things. And like when you play CTF, for example, there's a big-ass thing that says, protect the flag. And it's like, please. Like, I know I'm playing Capture the Flag. You don't need to cover my screen with that. So, you know, I just...
But they still have the classic mode as well, right?
Well, I've seen the classic mode being played with those things. That's the problem.
Oh.
There's a video on IGN where they play, quote, classic CTF, and there are gun geese and there are hornets in it. So
that's going to be interesting. I mean, reviews came out. It did well. I haven't I'll check that out after this, I guess. I guess kind of jumping back towards what we've been playing, which hasn't been a ton. What have you been playing, Daniel?
They put the like a test version of the Talos Principle, which is a first-person puzzle game from the developers of Serious Sam, and I was like, you know what? It's free. It's going to take me an hour. I'll check it out. And I guess if you like Portal, you're probably going to like this, although I'm not a fan of it. It's, like I say, it's a first-person puzzle game. It has some kind of philosophical story element to it, where there's like a god character called Elohim, and he claims that he made you, and you're playing like a robot, and there's also like the idea of the name, the Talos Principle, comes from the idea of you can sum up what it is to be human with machines or something. So the story sounds kind of interesting, but the gameplay I'm not a fan of, because it's like, unlike Portal, where you use the portal gun as your method of getting things around. So you put a portal here, you put a portal there, and you toss a box into the portal, and your box is where you wanted it to be. There's a lot of pick thing up, put it down, try a solution, that's not working, pick thing up, put it down somewhere else, pick another thing up, put it down elsewhere, now it works, now you've got to do the next bit of the puzzle. And it's a bit too much busy work for me. But I guess if you like, and there is also puzzles where you have like a set, you have a space, and you have a specific bunch of tetronymos, and you have to fit them all and fill all the gaps in the space. Those are kind of cool, but the rest of it just seems to be a lot of busy work for a puzzle game. It's not bad, just not my kind of thing, I guess. I don't know how long the public test is going to be up, but if you have a PC that can play games, it's worth checking it out. It's on Steam. Just type in the Talos Principle test, and you'll get it. It's free.
Okay.
I tried that also as well, really quick, because yesterday, on Saturday, my computer just started to burn.
Wait, so, we should have laughed at that.
It's just a weak setting.
And then I basically had to get out and get new machines, so I bought a new iMac. And so I was actually able to test out some more current stuff, I guess, or at least stuff that needs better hardware. So I also tried the Talos Principle. I thought it was alright. I liked it, but I will most likely play it on PS4, I guess, because when I saw it at Gamescom, it basically looked identical on PC and PS4. And the other thing I played was a bit of yesterday and this morning was Divinity Original Sin, which is, again, a more old-school, like, RPG that's really deep and has lots of different options right from the start with character creation and stuff. And I thought I would love it, but I only think it's okay. Lots of people have been out there saying, like, it's the best RPG ever and stuff like that, but if I played Wasteland 2 before this, and I think I enjoyed Wasteland 2 more. I like the more polished combat that, to me, also seemed more logical in how the action points were used. The openness, but that game feels really overwhelming right from the start. They basically really just set you free and say, yo, here you go. And I also just think it's really, really difficult. Even for me, I thought, like, it's probably a bit much. So even when I turned it down to easy, it was still really challenging. So I'm not quite sure if I want to continue it. So, yeah, there. That's basically what I played.
It seems to be the general consensus of that game is either you really, really, really like it, or you're just not that into it.
I don't think it's bad. It's
yeah.
Just not I just don't think I will get into it. I might give it another shot, but yeah. I like Wasteland 2 more, and that already was a really long RPG that I played this year, and I will probably play Dragon Age, so I think I'm, even if I don't continue playing it, I will be fine with enough RPG goodness.
Fair enough.
Okay. Just kind of as a quick update, I finished Bayonetta 2. I think we already kind of talked about it and the story. What we didn't talk about, and maybe you feel differently than I do, I thought the final boss battle was just kind of weak compared to the rest of the game.
Yeah, like, it was.
It just kind of ended. I'm like, oh, you know, I always talk about how this game has a ton of battles that could have been the final boss in a lot of games. And in hindsight, they probably should have saved one of those for the final. Because I didn't think it was the final boss, cause especially being like, I mean, minor spoilers, it has the typical three act structure where the enemy kind of gets more powerful, except it kind of reverses because it gets more powerful in the second form, and then its third form is just a pushover.
Yeah. And also, I felt like large portions of it felt a lot like the fight against the Lumen Sage earlier.
Yeah, yeah. That, and I think the Lumen Sage was the more interesting kind of one-on-one battle, where this was just kind of like, it also kind of felt like the fight you had with Ilki, spoilers again, which I guess kind of makes sense, but it's like, you know, it's weird to kind of repeat so much of what you were already doing with the final boss and not do it in anything new or interesting. And I mean, maybe I'm biased, especially coming off their performance with the Wonderful 101, which probably has my favorite finale of any game, because it's just, it's like completely batshit insane, over the top, awesome. And this is kind of more, yeah, we needed a final boss. And I, you know, we kind of talked about it before. I couldn't sum up the plot of this game if I wanted to. Other than, I know at some point she goes back to the past, and I don't even know if the eyes make a difference at the end. But yeah.
Don't ask me about the eyes.
Yeah, the eyes, got it. So yes, with that said, I guess we might as well flip over to the news. And there were two big things this week, and I think we're going to start off with the biggest one. Especially being that we talked about Halo and Call of Duty kind of becoming the same first-person shooter. It was nice to kind of see something not completely different. I think most people kind of sum it up simply, but Overwatch was announced at BlizzCon, which I believe people are saying is Blizzard's first new IP in 17 years.
Mm.
Yeah, it looks like Team Fortress 2.
I would not disagree, would actually disagree with that. I think it doesn't look quite as cartoony as Team Fortress 2 does, since Valve has been going for the whole silhouette thing, which makes these characters way simpler than the ones in Overwatch. Those are actually quite more complex in their design. On top of that, their ability design also seems to be way crazier in a way. I think everyone has like four different abilities or something, and they are quite different. Some of them are quite crazy compared to what characters in Team Fortress can do.
Oh yeah, it's a bit, but I mean, as far as kind of being a game, not necessarily completely as cartoon, but it's a cartoony team-based shooter where every cast has a distinct personality and type of role in the game. Like, everybody, like, you know, it's not like, okay, you can just pick any character, and this character is the sniper, and this character can also carry assault rifles or something like that. Everybody has their own special, I think each person has like 4 to 5 special abilities as well.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
I love the style of it. It looks really fun. It's different enough in this market. But the other thing, and I think we all kind of noted this, a lot of people have, was just the way they revealed a new IP. I mean, they did the whole CG trailer, but then they're like, oh, here's gameplay. Oh, it's also playable if you want to do that. And there's a beta coming.
There was, and that gameplay trailer was long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the same ending.
And then later on the website, they also put up like class breakdowns for all the revealed characters as well.
Yeah.
It's nice to see a lot of footage for something that's brand new, for once, instead of just something that's pre-rendered. And it looks pretty cool. My only concern is like monetization, because I'm not...
They haven't said either way yet, have
they? I'm not going into this game if it's free-to-play. Sorry, Blizzard.
Well, rumor has it it's free-to-play and you might buy Heroes separately a la League of Legends.
Yeah, no thanks.
But,
Blizzard make really good games, but I'm like... I stopped playing Hearthstone because I just got tired of it being free-to-play, and I'd rather just buy the game and, you know, have a bunch of cards instead of just fucking either have them charge me loads under this veil of... But you can play it for free without grinding. I'd rather just want to buy the game and be able to play it, you know? Especially for a first-person shooter.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't mind free to play that much if it's done well, and I think there are games out there that have done it well. And
Blizzard doesn't need to fucking make a game free to play. They could sell anything. So I don't know.
But free to play makes even more money. But yeah, I don't mind it. I will definitely give it a shot if it runs on my machine. I will totally play it.
Yeah. It was just, you know, a great way to announce an IP. It looks really fun and fresh and different. I mean, even if people do make the Team Fortress 2 comparison, there isn't a ton of Team Fortress 2 games out there.
No.
Apparently he agrees.
Also, I just thought, like, some of the character designs look really fun. Some were more serious, others were, like... I mean, one of the main characters was a big speaking gorilla with glasses. I mean, how can you not like that?
The problem with being British is that whenever you see, like, a British person in a game, they're always Cockney. Always. That's the only British accent that there is.
I don't know. I guess also just people outside just think it sounds nice, funny, I don't know.
Because that's what you were talking about. Because you were talking about Gideon, weren't you? When you asked me about...
Yeah, he's actually Australian.
Is he?
I think he's supposed to be Australian. But I'm not 100% sure. I just couldn't put my finger down on what he's actually supposed to be.
I think he's Cockney as well.
Is he Cockney? Okay.
Yeah.
I just brought him up to you because every time I saw a cutscene from that game, it started with Gideon saying, "Oi!"
No, we were
no,
something
we just
else while
finished
waiting for you.
Okay. So I guess the other big thing of this week would have been the Nintendo Direct. The announcement of Majora's Mask 3DS, which I don't get.
Nobody.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's been begging for it for 3 years, I guess, maybe.
I just don't care. I never liked Majora's Mask.
Yeah, I'm not huge on it. I know people like it. It's the weird and dark side of the game. And it's like, I never care for the gimmick. And kind of going back to my earlier point, I don't necessarily have in the past as far as wanting remakes and re-releases. So, just did nothing for me.
It's easy money for Nintendo. They'll release a limited edition that's not even a new 3DS, and they'll get away with it, you know.
Yeah, I mean it is what it is. Especially being when you want support in your handheld, it's a way to get something in your lineup because it's coming what first quarter of 2015, first half of 2015, something like that. They were not very specific without a date here. And just to kind of get this out of the way, because I'm just going to say,
I thought that Direct was pretty disappointing, and especially if you're European, but we will come to that later.
I was going to get to it now, because I'm sure you have something to say.
Okay.
But they announced Kirby's Wii World is coming out in February for North America, and then it's announced for, I don't know, in Europe.
It's paywall in Europe at the moment, which is ridiculous.
It's called second half of 2015.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
See, when I read that, I thought you meant second quarter. I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Like, okay, you know, February to April, but second half, it's like past June.
No, second half.
Yeah,
I mean, and they were like, we moved all these games a week forward. Oh yeah, by the way, we delayed Kirby by as much as 6 months, maybe. It's not how it works, Nintendo.
And I already love, like, some people's excuses for, like, yeah, it's probably localization work. And I even saw, like, I'm thinking, like, Kirby? But
how do you localize
it's
Kirby?
It's so text-heavy.
Yeah.
and beyond that, do you know how localization works? That's usually done all at the same time. Even in my complaining thread, there was a developer who worked previously at Sega said, like, that stuff is usually all done at the same time.
Yeah, and, I mean, Kirby does not seem to be very plot-heavy from what I've seen. Honestly, the thing I did get from your thread, from what I understand, is apparently there's a history of Nintendo and Kirby games having its weird release date in Europe, as far as, like, being... I don't get it. Maybe you folks just hate Kirby and they don't want to sell it to you, but they have to. I don't get that at all, especially being that, I mean, right now, as far as I know, your lineup is Captain Toad in January, and then nothing.
No, we have the same time frame as you guys for Splatoon.
Yeah, so it technically isn't a time frame. It's second quarter.
We have the same time frame for now.
Yeah, true.
For now. No, what it is Nintendo has to spend all that extra time taking the box art for American Kirby, and they need to change his eyes so they're not angry. It takes that long to do it. That's what it is.
Yeah, that sounds logical to me.
Yeah, I don't get it. On the bright side, at least for us, they did announce that it also has a four-player co-op mode, which is kind of interesting. It's like three people do actual general platforming, and the other person kind of plays the Kirby games typical. And you can kind of do it as a mixture where, like, people can just carry Kirby, and then you the person. It's kind of like a mixture of the new Super Mario Bros. U mode, where you can draw the things, but actually making that person an active participant in the game as well, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. It looked cute. It's probably going to be pretty fun regardless, but it will definitely change up the gameplay quite a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, for some of us who can play it within the next 4 months, it's there as well. Speaking, I guess to go in the reverse, they announced a multiplayer mode for Kirby, and they showed off the single-player mode for Splatoon, which I think was one of the problems a lot of people had, one of the fears people had with the game, because we've had a history recently of multiplayer-centric games not really being heavy on single-player content. And this looks like a fully formed co-op campaign. There's a story element. Apparently, and I was not aware of this until this week, there is an epic battle between squids and octopi that has been raging for some time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks really good. It seems like it's going to be a kind of more of a platform shooter as far as campaign goes. And it's nice that they're actually using the element of the game, which I know sounds weird, but you would think that might be difficult to transition to a single-player campaign, but it seems to be working for them.
Yeah, from what I've seen, is they've made some really interesting levels. And I think the thing I like the most about the single-player is the octopi looked like something taken straight out of Invader Zim, which is really cool.
Octopi remind me, every time I see them, they remind me of the emo kids from South Park. Because they have that little piece of their, I guess their tentacle that sticks out and it moves when they, like,
yeah.
It's really good. But it's an interesting design. I mean, it's very visually, it's different. and you can get a lot of fun with it, because right now the core enemies seem to be a single tentacle, so you can imagine them kind of grouping up and forming different things as well.
Yeah.
So it looks nice, and it's out, you know, first half of next year, I guess technically is another way to phrase it.
Right, didn't it say second quarter, I thought?
But just first half. I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be made at Mario Kart. But we shall see. I guess speaking of Mario Kart, they revealed that the DLC comes out on this Thursday, November 13th. And they showed off a bunch of the courses. They showed off the vehicles. I'm actually surprised, because I actually thought it was going to be four old courses and four new courses. It's actually five brand new courses and then three retro remakes, which is kind of a nifty balance. I think we talked about.
I thought their way of pricing DLC is really good. I think you get quite a lot of value out of their DLC packages. The same was with Mario Golf on the 3DS, I think.
And you get a decent discount if you buy both the packs at the same time. So.
Yeah, you know, and you get bonus features for it as well, because you get, it's not much, but you get, I think, eight additional colors for two characters, the Shy Guys and the Shy Guys and something else. Oh, Yoshi.
Yoshi.
For $12, you get pretty much half of a game, because you get 16 tracks, you get six races, you get eight vehicles. So it's the only qualm, and we've had this discussion before, is the pacing, because this is out in November. It was announced in August, and the other one isn't out until May next year. So there's a huge gap in between that. They showed off the Duck Hunt Dog, which was a cute trailer, but at the same time, people have known about it for a month and a half now. So
yeah,
I think something I've been saying for a long time on Nintendo, they are so tone deaf. When it comes to this stuff, I mean, the game is already out. People know the Duck Hunt Dog is in this game.
Nintendo seems to forget when they release games sometimes.
I'm sure they did. They probably were just like, oh, well, it basically gave the 3DS as a trial run. So if you didn't play the 3DS version, which I doubt many people who are into Smash Bros. Hasn't at this point, or who are into Smash Bros. And don't know about who's the secret characters. But yeah, it was kind of like, oh, this is kind of like a cool trailer, but we've also known about this forever, so it's not a big deal. I think it would have been much more impressive if we didn't know about it already. And then they showed off more of Xenoblade Chronicles X, which looks fantastic. The scale is so
great.
Yeah, and it's going to be one of those games that we both get to bitch about, because apparently it's scheduled for spring 2015 in Japan, and we're just kind of a nebulous 2015, so...
Well, that's something I'm not surprised with.
2015,
localization.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Well, no one our yuck, you get it, and then we'll wait a couple of years.
We get it first quarter 2016.
We'll get it second quarter 2017. We didn't know you wanted this game, guys. I'm sorry. I think that was it for the direct. They showed off
Amiibos.
Oh, yes, that. I am so conflicted on Amiibos. I think it's really cool that they can be used in multiple games and do different things in each game. I still don't care for them.
Especially given
that they're not as good, like the quality of them is not as good as they were a year ago or less than that, like when they were first shown off.
Well, I mean that was 5 months ago, but yeah. I mean,
for me the problem is more like Nintendo wants to get into this. God, I hate this term, toys to life space, and. He just thought, like, yeah, we can make toys, but our toys will be in all our games. But not really thinking through why people actually want to buy the toys in the first place. And that's just not to look at them, but actually make them be meaningful. Which I guess Nintendo doesn't want to do, because, to be honest, I don't think anything they have shown off so far with Amiibos that you can do looks compelling at all.
Well, this is it's like, if you buy Disney Infinity or Skylanders, like you buy a character and they get their own campaign. Like, it's like they get their own little game within a bigger game, whereas Nintendo obviously really doesn't want to do that because, you know, they don't like the idea of making people buy things and then getting cutting off with other major content and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big headache. Yeah, but at the same point,
it's the same point that makes me doubt the success of these things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the whole reason why these things are successful is because you get significant things by buying them.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, as much as I hate it, I do think they are going to need a central game for it. But I don't like the idea of buying a game piecemeal, which is what you kind of do with Disney Infinity Sky and the SO, because you get the full game, you just get certain parts of it knocked out. But you can beat the game with just the 3 starters in most cases. And I think they're just afraid of, like, they don't want to be, like, I mean, so far, nothing they've shown, because it works with, they've shown how it works for Mario Kart, they've shown how it works for Hyrule Warriors, they've shown how it works for Super Smash Bros., and none of it is anything you would miss if you don't get the toys, which is partially good as a consumer, because if I'm not interested in it, I'm not missing out on anything. But it's terrible if you actually want to sell these things, because if you don't have them, you're not missing out on anything.
And that's where the quality of the actual figures comes up again. Because I guess if they were really nice to look at, then you would buy one, put it on your shelf, and, oh, I bought this game and it works for that, so they'll just unlock the thing. But they don't.
Exactly.
See, I don't even think they look bad for the price. My biggest problem with them are the ones who don't have 2 feet to the ground and all the random stuff Nintendo's done to do that.
Like, yeah.
Aji place stands for Captain Falcon.
And for Link, it looks like he's got like a frozen urine stack leaning on. It's just like great.
Well, but I would disagree that they all look great. Some of them look good, but not all of them. I don't think the quality stands up to what Disney Infinity figures or especially Skylanders figures look like, because I think Skylander figures are above and beyond better than these.
I think the big thing with Skylanders, and I could be, I think because Skylanders doesn't have to replicate anything, where Nintendo's kind of taken established characters, and you know, like, Mario's shade is off or something like that. But yeah, I agree. I mean, if you want collectible Nintendo toys, there are much better ones. The problem for me is going to be when they have ones that probably, like, when they have Shulk, like, I don't imagine there's going to be a ton of Xenoblade Chronicle toys in general. I'll probably buy that one. But I'm going to notice all the imperfections with it because, oh, his color is off. He has this weird stand coming out of his ass or something like that.
I'm just going to buy one just so I can try it out. I don't really see myself buying more beyond that. At least not at this point.
The other thing with their strategy to a certain degree is I think it makes some more valuable than others, because right now it sounds like you would want Link and Mario, and I think those are the two you would want right now, because they are, like, Link is in 3 games. It gives you something in 3 different games. Mario gives you stuff in 2 games, but I assume he'll also give you stuff in Mario Party 10 and Captain Toad. And then, like, people like Diddy Kong, like, what do you need Diddy Kong for?
Well, like you just said, Shulk. What is Shulk in? Oh, it's in Smash Brothers, and, you know?
Yeah.
Those figures work in Smash Bros. But beyond that, my actual previous plan was to get Pikachu, because I think the figure actually looks good, and I thought, like, yeah, it would be fun to train Pikachu, and maybe I can use it beyond that, but so far it doesn't look like Pikachu is going to be used for anything. So I switched to Samus Aran, because she actually already also works in Mario Kart. So that's at least something.
Okay, and to be fair, even though I think it's stupid, I actually do like some of the costumes you get.
The Captain Falcon one is the best.
I like the Kirby one as well, because Kirby's head is the back of it. So some of it is really cool.
But Captain Falcon, again, has the problem of the figure having this ugly stand in it, as well as Link. Otherwise, I would probably go for one of those, but these stands just look absolutely awful. I think the only figure that does not look worse because of the stands is Fox.
Yeah, it's because they're barely noticeable, that's why. Yeah, it's a shame. Like, you'd have thought that someone at Nintendo would have thought, we need to have them standing in proper poses.
Well, you don't even necessarily need to, because I actually, because I was in Best Buy and Target a lot this week because I was looking for an Xbox One, and I looked at some of the Skylanders and Disney Infinity toys, and I like what Disney Infinity does. If the characters aren't standing, if they aren't standing on both feet on the ground, what they do is they create some type of thing on the stand to make it interesting. Like Barbosso from Pirates of the Caribbean, he stands on a rum barrel. So one foot's on that, and the other foot is on the ground. And that makes sense. Design around it instead of like, okay, we want Link to be doing this thing, so we're going to just put a rod up his backside. It looks cheap and stupid. Donkey Kong works because, it looks weird, but he's sitting on something. It makes sense. Where Captain Falcon already has a rod going through his foot.
And for Link, it looks like he has, like, pee coming out.
And they could have picked better colors for these, right? Didn't they just make them all clear of anything?
Exactly. Clear would have been fine.
I don't
get it at all. But going back to DLC and stuff, CD Projekt announced The Witcher 3 free DLC content. Which I at first thought was a joke, but they're serious about it. Not that free DLC is a problem, but like if you're going to it's 16 pieces, why not just kind of have that all at once instead of doing it over? I guess they're doing it every 2 weeks, so about half a year.
Actually, the once or twice releases is kind of what they did previously. They always had free support for the game.
Yeah, and every time, like, there are times they just chuck in, like, small things that you won't use, but, you know, new stuff is new stuff. And then we'll, you know, after all this DLC, we'll get the Witcher 3 Enhanced Edition, because that's what they do, you know, they clean the game up. So
the thing is, I think the idea is, they still don't want to be as bad as our companies by saying, okay, you will get all this stuff for free. But of course, the idea of spreading out like that is to make you keep the game longer.
That's
the idea. I mean, but since it's free, I really can't complain.
Especially
in this day and age when nobody gives you anything for free. Speaking of stuff people would have to give me, Activision is working on a new Tony Hawk game.
So it's going to be bad then.
Well, it depends on what they want.
It depends. When the last three Tony Hawk games, we had Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD, which was bad. We had Tony Hawk Ride, which was bad. And then there was the other one that used the stupid board, which was also bad.
Yeah, but Activision seems to be
On Friday, I saw the Giant Bomb crew play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Underground 2. And man, if it did another one that was good, like those games, and I mean, Underground was already on the downward course, but it was still really good, I would totally play that.
I just don't have
any hope.
Oh, I don't either, but you gotta believe that maybe they can reboot it and do it well. But, I mean, yes, the chances are slim, but they also do seem to be over the other fair with plastic peripherals. I mean, granted, they have Skylanders, but, okay, you know what, never mind. I was about to say, can you imagine them doing Tony Hawk with toys? But actually, I can see that. Like, you buy different skateboards and unlock them in the game.
Or you know what? Give the new Tony Hawk to Infinity Ward. It's not like they're going to make a good Call of Duty. They have all the Neversoft guys there anyway.
It's going to turn into a first-person shooter. It's going to be Sunset Overdrive Part 2.
Oh, dear.
Speaking of first-person shooting, GTA 5 has a first-person mode in the new... It's just GTA 5 again, right? There's no remaster.
Which is annoying, so I wish more people would just do that. You know, the Master Chief Collection, I can understand because it's 4 games, but you don't need to fucking call it Tomb Raider Definitive Edition or Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition. Just call it Sleeping Dogs. It's the same fucking game. Anyway, the first-person mode looks really cool, and I think I'm planning on picking it up on PC at some point, assuming the port is not completely terrible. And I think that I'm just going to end up playing the game on first-person because is different to playing it like normally again, you know? And it really changes the game, like, a lot more than you initially think, because it makes it a lot more about the environment that you're in instead of just who you're shooting at. So...
And the thing is, when I first read, like, oh, first-person mode is the new thing, and I thought, like, well, I don't really care, but then I saw the implementation.
Yeah.
They put some work in. I mean, this is not just putting the camera in first-person mode. This is like they have completely new animations and models and all that stuff so that it is a real first-person game.
Yeah.
It's really impressive.
I thought the same after, like, I just sort of reminded myself of how not good the GTA 4 first-person mod is, and I was like, it's just going to be like that. It's just going to be like that. And then they showed the video, and I was like, wow. So
Also, I was impressed with the graphical upgrade compared to the last-gen versions. I have to say, all the added detail and stuff. I would say that game looks better than Watch Dogs.
That's not hard.
I was about to say, that doesn't sound like a difficult task, but,
But Ubisoft would like us to believe different, because...
Yeah, well, Ubisoft,
you know,
can
it's
shut up.
Well, Ubisoft wants us to be the hottest stuff, but you can't buy everything somebody's putting at you. And this is out... No, this isn't out this week. It's out next week, right?
Unless you want it on PC, and then you've got to wait another 2 months.
No.
It happens.
I'm going to pick it up, and I will definitely try out the first-person mode. It's also interesting to see that they include all kinds of options. So if you want to play in third-person but only have the vehicles in first, you can totally do that and stuff like that.
And, oh, did you notice how the speedometers are accurate?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
It's really cool.
Crazy.
It's really cool. I'm definitely going to give that a shot in first-person. Because I already played a lot of GTAs in third, so why not give that a shot?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you folks want to talk about before we wrap for this week?
Not that I can recall.
I think we've run through all the important stuff.
Okay. Just as a friendly reminder, if you're in the great country of the United States, and I guess partially Canada, Target is doing a buy two, get one free sale on all video games. If you go to the store, apparently if you go to the website, they don't do all video games. It's only a selection of a few hundred, which sounds really first world problem-ish, but I know games like Bayonetta 2 aren't on the list and stuff like that. So, you know, check your Roku Target if you have one. Oddly enough, I don't know. Nobody's really released their Black Friday deals yet, which I think is really weird. Usually that stuff is out by now. Oh, Best Buy is also having, I mean, by the time this is out, probably be fixed. Best Buy is having a buy one, get 50% off on all 3DS games, and people were able to get Pokemon Arceus, the dual pack for $40, which is a great deal. You get both games.
And you get 200 potions! 200 potions!
200 potions. But yes,
I don't
somebody
even
who,
know what that means.
It literally means you get, 200
million
potions.
Per game. Yeah, literally.
Like, yeah. I mean, it means not, like, it's nothing. It's the worst type of bait and switch. And, I mean, just as a minor aside, and this has nothing to do with anything, I was just really curious about it. I don't necessarily know what's going on the VGAs. I only bring that up because Nintendo had a Direct this week, and they pretty much detail what they're doing for the next 6 months or so. Blizzard had BlizzCon, which they revealed their new IP. They showed a new trailer, a gameplay they had a playable. Sony has the PlayStation Experience, which sounds like a much meatier experience than I originally thought, because not only do they have a ton of games there, but they also have a lot of panels. I think there's something like 20 panels at the show itself. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen at the VGAs if it is a thing, because I don't know who's going to show anything at that point.
Hopefully, maybe there are no VGAs.
Sony would skip it.
Yeah, well, if Sony skips it, if Nintendo skips it, like, who do you really have left?
Maybe they're just going to use the VGAs as an award show instead of a game debut show.
Let's be honest. But yeah, I was just literally
the only things I can think of. The only things I could think of was Microsoft and Bethesda.
Yay.
Ubisoft never showed up there, I think.
I mean, Bethesda possible. Microsoft, I would say, I'm kind of iffy on. Just because, I mean, it would be, like, I assume they're going to roll out more about Halo 5 before the beta, which is at the end of the year. And they might, and this is something we can probably talk about in another time. Microsoft also has a nothing for the first half of next year.
Well, they spent all their resources trying to get stuff out for the holidays, which is where Sony doesn't have anything, so...
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could probably reveal Quantum Break and say that it's out soon. Because the thing is, and this is kind of what happened at E3, a lot of people just aren't there to show their games. Like, EA could be there, but almost everything is still kind of in that, oh, we wish this was a game phase.
Yeah.
And usually EA keeps all their stuff close, and usually you see a Battlefield thing, or I guess next year it would be a Battlefront at GDC, at least a first glimpse, and then at E3 they do the whole blowout.
Yeah, it was just something I was thinking about during this week, because I'm like, oh, all these major games being announced. I mean, granted, oh, two new games were announced, but like we got new trailers for a lot of Nintendo games. I mean, granted, they don't really do the VGAs. And then, you know, the Sony thing where they announced 20 panels. I'm like, oh, so this is a very kind of a big thing. It's not like, oh, here's some fans you can hang out and play these games. It's like, you can go meet the developers. I think there's a panel on, like, bringing Nathan Drake to the iPhone or PlayStation 4. I'm like, yeah, that's going to definitely have more PlayStation 4 footage of Uncharted 4. So, yeah, it's just, I mean, granted, we don't need a VGAs, but I was just really curious because it's also... It's a month. I mean, at this rate, it's November 9th as of today. They have like a month to reveal it if they're going to do it, and it seems like a really short turnaround. But that's nothing for anything. We'll be back next week with the impressions of, well, way too many games apparently, because I have at least six I want to pick up during the Target sale. I have a fancy new system to check out. This week sees Halo Master Chief Collection. Jason just bought Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, so hopefully he's back next week with impressions of that. So for Martin, Daniel, and myself, this has been New World in Episode 160.